This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
No interest rate hikes on the horizon. How times change. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve wrapped up a two-day meeting yesterday with a decision not to raise interest rates. That is what everyone expected. It also predicted that there would probably not be any more rate hikes this year. Just a few months ago, the Fed was talking about two interest rate increases in 2019. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So, Nancy, the Fed expects the economy to keep growing. So why is it backing away from higher interest rates?
Well, the Fed does expect the economy to grow, but more slowly than it predicted just last December. In December, the Fed said the economy would grow 2.3% this year. Now it expects a growth rate of 2.1%. Partly because other countries' economies are slowing down, like Europe's. So there's less need to raise interest rates to keep the U.S. economy from overheating.
You asked Chair Jay Powell how the Fed is preparing for Brexit, Britain's exit from the European Union, and its possible effects on the U.S. economy. What did he tell you?
Well, he says the stress tests the Fed puts U.S. banks through have helped prepare them for any shock to the U.S. economy from Brexit.
We put them through very large financial shocks with large losses and big changes in markets every year, and we vary that every year.
But Powell added that nothing like this has happened in recent years, so it's hard to be confident, and the Fed is watching what's going on with Brexit very closely.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow and S&P futures are down less than 0.1%. The Dow futures down 18 points. NASDAQ futures up about 0.1%. And the 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.52%. A jury has decided that one man's cancer was caused by Monsanto's Roundup weed killer. Monsanto and parent company Bayer's liability is being decided in a separate case. But the trial has put a spotlight on how courts assess complex and unsettled scientific questions. Marketplace's Michael Lipkin has more.
Does Roundup cause cancer? Scientists disagree on that. Regulators in different countries disagree. But jurors in San Francisco had to decide.
As weird as this case might seem, there's really nothing unusual about it.
Jennifer Lauren is professor at the University of Texas School of Law. There is debate over whether courts are equipped to handle complex or murky scientific questions. Judges usually decide which evidence is admissible, but they depend on lawyers' arguments to do so.
You don't have anyone in court whose actual function it is to present evidence in an objective light.
And courts do get ahead of the science.
Classic example of that was the litigation involving silicone implants in the 1990s.
David Fagman is dean of the UC Hastings College of Law. 500,000 lawsuits were filed alleging silicone implants caused tissue disorders.
When the research finally caught up, it turned out that it did not cause connective tissue disorders, and the cases ended up being dismissed.
But that can take years after a case is settled. Science and the law are on very different timetables. In New York, I'm Michael Lipkin for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We can talk about GDP numbers around the world all day long. They tell us a lot, but at the end of the day, they are just a measure of economic output, and people are more than what they produce. Hence the birth of the World Happiness Report. This started back in 2005. It ranks 156 countries by how happy their citizens perceive themselves to be. Marketplace's David Brancaccio spoke with Jeffrey Sachs, professor at the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia and one of the authors of the 2019 Happiness Report.
One piece of this report notes a worldwide phenomenon, what you call in the report negative affect. These are what, emotions like worry, sadness, things like that?
We saw, looking at changes over the last 10 years, I'd say rather disturbing, significant increase of exactly the negative emotions you mentioned, worry, sadness, also anger, are up on a worldwide basis and in most of the regions of the world. Perhaps related to the 2008 financial crisis and its long lingering aftermath, but definitely something is going on, that it's a more alarmed, higher worry period for the world.
Now, the headline here is the happiest of the countries on the ranking here in 2019 are again focused on Scandinavia. That's barely a headline, right? We always know it's Scandinavia.
Well, I think what is remarkable, actually, is how consistently the countries of the Nordic region are at the top of the world's list. It's not due to feeling good in a particular moment. These are countries that obviously have something to teach us about how they've organized their government functions, their social life. They do it differently from the United States, and they're really getting a big payoff from that.
Economists often like to talk about social inequality using measures of income inequality, the gap between rich and poor, wealth concentration. You and your team here are arguing about the need to go beyond income when understanding not just happiness, but inequality.
Well, in thinking about inequality also, we want to understand not only the dollars and cents of it, but we want to understand whether our society is characterized by a big, big gap in life satisfaction. And indeed, in the United States, we have just about the highest gap, that is the variation of well-being. We rank 49th, reflecting, I think, the huge anxiety that people have because of financial insecurity in our country without much of a safety net.
Jeffrey Sachs is one of the authors of the 2019 Happiness Report put together for the United Nations by his Sustainable Development Solutions Network. He's also a professor at the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia. Dr. Sachs, thank you.
Pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.